This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Will. Dibby is here, though. It's Dibby and Grandy on this Thursday here on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah.
And we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And, of course, all of us here at 95.7 The Game. So grateful to have Laughing Monk Brewing involved. Great place to go out and watch some games with incredible food and drink. We've got the second half of the baseball season ramping up beginning tomorrow when the Giants are in Toronto. Justin Verlander to kick off the second half of the season tomorrow. We shall see. Maybe he gets his first win of the year in his first start out of the All-Star break. We'll see how that all goes. But again, we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And Dibs, one thing I want to make sure that we explain to our listeners is why the Warriors are, I get handcuffed is probably the right answer right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah.
The Kuminga situation, regardless of who's to blame, and we can talk about this as well, you know, the Warriors deserve plenty of blame for getting to this spot, but why the Warriors have to wait in general at all for this Kuminga thing to pan out and before they can do anything else, essentially. And I wanted to make sure to address this after the reaction to the Bradley Beal news that came out yesterday, that he was getting waived and stretched by Phoenix, which is essentially just cutting him and being creative in how you pay him the remaining amount of money on his deal. And then he signed a two-year, nearly $11 million contract with the Clippers. The Clippers used a portion of their non-taxpayer mid-level exception to get that done. The Warriors, theoretically, Dibs, they could offer Bradley Beal $5.7 million per year. They could use their taxpayer mid-level exception, $5.7 million. And that is very similar to what Bradley Beal is getting over the course, on average, of the next 2 years. So if they wanted to do that and Bradley Beal wanted to be in Golden State, the Warriors could have this very second or yesterday, 24 hours ago, offered Bradley Beal that taxpayer mid-level exception. Okay, so why didn't they? Well, one, maybe Bradley didn't even want to be here. Maybe the Warriors didn't even want him. But let's just assume that both parties wanted to get together. The Warriors decided not to do that, and it's the same thing with why they're not offering that same taxpayer mid-level to Al Horford right now, because it would handicap them in terms of the Kuminga situation. Let's just play this out for a sec, Dibs. Say the Warriors offer Bradley Beal or Al Horford and they sign him on that $5.7 million taxpayer mid-level exception. What that does, in addition to getting that dude on your roster, it hard caps you at the second apron, which means you can't spend more money than the second apron. You cannot possibly go over that level. You are hard capping yourself in a sport that doesn't really have a technical hard cap. And then what happens, Dibs? When you have a free agent, even whether he's restricted or not, that is out there on the market, and you have other teams that to a certain degree are interested in him, what would then happen, Dibs, if the Warriors put that cap on themselves? A different team, whether it's the Kings who have expressed interest, whether it's a team like the Jazz, who you never know what they have up their sleeve, and they're willing to do crazy things 24/7, you could have a team cut cap space, say get some saved money, cut some players, create some cap space, and they could then offer a restricted free agent, Jonathan Kuminga, a contract that the Warriors could not mathematically match because they are not now hard capped at the second apron, and as a result of that happening, the Warriors would lose Jonathan Kuminga for nothing. So the Warriors are not doing any of that stuff because they want to have all of the leverage in this Kuminga situation for themselves. So until the Kuminga thing resolves itself one way or another, they're not giving out anything above a vet minimum deal. And they're probably not going to even do a vet minimum deal until the Kuminga situation resolves itself. But there is no way in hell they're giving Bradley Beal that taxpayer mid-level or Al Horford that taxpayer mid-level, because that would therefore increase the chance of Kuminga walking away for nothing this very second.
Yeah, and that's why things have to go through Kuminga. The order of operations have to start with Kuminga, and you get the resolution, and then you know exactly what you have left to spend, and then you can go out and spend it accordingly. And that's partly why Bradley Beal was never going to happen. And Damian Lillard, when he signed as much as he signed for, which was way more than you can afford, even though I told you weeks ago he was not coming here anyway, the whole idea of the contract that he got, and it was a little bit different for Lillard because he only had 1 year left on his deal. And so when they stretch him out, he doesn't have as much money left as Beal did. So Beal can take a lot less because Beal's got more coming in from Phoenix than Lillard does from Milwaukee. But the whole thing is what you explained there so eloquently, that it all goes through Kuminga. And until you get that resolution, you really can't do anything else. So even if you thought you could get Lillard and you can't, you couldn't afford it. And even if you thought you'd get Beal and you wouldn't because he doesn't want to come here, you couldn't really afford that either, because if you made those moves before Kuminga, then you don't have the same leverage with Kuminga.
Exactly. Exactly. So we can throw stones at how they got into this spot in the first place, but the reality, Dibs, and this is the way that I see it, and if you feel differently, you can let us know, 888-957-9570. Once the Warriors got to this spot, the best thing that they could do is wait. Honestly. Wait. Do what they're doing right now. It doesn't feel great. And as a Warrior fan, it's frustrating as hell because you have all these teams around you getting better. But once you're in this spot, the best thing that you can do is wait. Assuming that you're not willing to let Kuminga walk for nothing, and of course they're not willing to do that. And if that is the reality that you're looking at, then you just wait. You have no reason to do anything else, especially assuming that you feel pretty good about Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton. Whenever Kuminga figures it out, you have those guys waiting for you. What are you losing at this point by continuing to wait? So we could blame the Warriors for getting to this spot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And there's plenty of blame for them in order to get here. But what I'm trying to say, Dibs, is once you're at this spot, I think they're handling it the way that you probably should.
Well, they had no choice, really. I mean, they're handling it the only way that they could, because you went back to last offseason, and if you looked at what they tried to do with Kuminga, and they tried to give him an offer, allegedly, that was, in their eyes, fair, and Kuminga wanted more, and so it didn't work out, and he played out the year, and he got hurt, and you realized, man, we can probably be a good team with Jimmy Butler and not JK, and we can do really well without him. So now you get to this offseason, and if Kuminga still wants that same amount of money, you're not going to even answer the phone, because you understand that you've got him for a qualifying offer for 7.9, and if you don't have any of the suitors out there, you can eventually have him come back and play for that or not play at all, and you know you won't be too worse for the wear. And so you got through the season and into this offseason, and you realize that other teams don't have money, and here we are on July 17th, and we're now officially, what, 18 days into the period where you could officially start to get offers, and there have been nothing. There have been no team out there that has even made a hint that they want to give Jonathan Kuminga $20 or $25 million a year, so now you're in a spot where you can just sit and wait.
Yeah, you got it, and your goal, okay, so then the next question becomes, all right, well, what is the purpose? What's the goal? What happens by waiting? Well, you hope that some other team becomes desperate enough and ups their offer, or you hope Kuminga feels the pressure enough or comes to the realization that he's not going to get what he wants from other teams, and then he's willing to return to you for less, or the other team is willing to offer more, and then you are willing to move on. But if the Warriors aren't feeling like they're missing out on a ton by doing nothing in these moments, then the best thing they can do is just wait and one way or another walk away with what they view as a better outcome, whether it is more return from somebody else or paying Kuminga a better contract in their eyes.
It depends on what that contract is, and I would imagine if the Warriors do come to terms with Kuminga on something outside of the qualifying offer, it would be a two-year deal. It'll be a 1 year with a player option for year two, and it'll be less money than what Kuminga wants, but it'll be the kind of offer where, you know, he'll be tempted to play well and maybe decide to stay if that's what it is. If it's 2 years and 30, let's just say, and the Warriors give him, you know, 12 now or 13 now, and next year would be 17 with a player option. And Kuminga goes out and he plays well this year, and he realizes, you know what? I can make more than 17 on the open market. I'm going to opt out and go play somewhere else. Or maybe the Warriors don't play him a lot, and he realizes that he wants to go play elsewhere. If they do sign him to a deal outside of the qualifying offer, I would bet it's something like that. It would be about a 2 year and $30 million deal which he's not going to love, but it'll be more than $7.9 million this year, and he'll get a raise from that, and then he'll have a player option next year, and at that point, he can decide what to do.
Yeah, maybe even then, there's a handshake agreement in place when he signs a contract, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. So it's like, all right, JK, we're gonna try to get you to somewhere you want to be at the trade deadline, so we can even try to get something back for you as well, and you can get out of here quicker. Because it seems like that's what both parties might want.
If you have him for $13 million this year and you get to the deadline, then you get $13 million back.
Yeah.
As opposed to now with a sign and trade, you only get half of that value back.
Yes, indeed. All right, we continue our All-Star Week prize blowout again today. Every day this week, each show will give out one of our awesome prizes. Today, we're giving one lucky listener a Warriors prize pack and a pair of four-day passes to Aftershock. The Warriors prize pack includes a hat, t-shirts, a bobblehead, and a collectible pin. Listen at 4:30 to learn how you can win. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy in for Willard. So Dibs and Grandy with you. More coming up next on the Warriors, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
And it's Dan Dibley here to talk about Fremont Bank, which is a family-owned bank with the family-owned feel, and you know they're deeply committed to contributing to their clients' goals. And in this case, it is me and my goals, because I'm a client, and I have been for the better part of six, coming up on 7 years. And Fremont Bank is proudly celebrating 60 years in business. They started it in 1964, so we are quickly coming up on their 61st anniversary. And when they built this bank, they wanted to build not only a good local bank, but an ecosystem, a local ecosystem built on relationships that benefit all of us here in the Bay Area communities. They're proudly independent, and they're one of the top members of the community that they serve, which is all of our communities. And they are one of the best corporate philanthropist organizations. When you deposit your money with Fremont Bank, they keep it local. They reinvest it into home ownership and businesses and philanthropy and everything else that makes the Bay Area so strong. I encourage you to go into one of the branches and see exactly for yourself what Fremont Bank does for you and does for the whole community. It's full service banking at its finest. It's Fremont Bank, here for you and here for good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard. It's Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, talking out this never-ending Jonathan Kuminga conundrum. There was maybe a little bit of news today, and these both come courtesy of the Stein line, Substack of Mark Stein. Also, Jake Fisher covers the NBA under that same Substack. Number one, Jonathan Kuminga reportedly hoping to secure even a short-term contract, but a contract that has an AAV of at least $25 million. Meanwhile, the Warriors have expressed a reluctance to go that high in price. They're also looking to receive first-round draft compensation in any kind of sign-and-trade. And then there has been a new team that has been added into the Jonathan Kuminga interest bucket, if you will, Dibs. According to the same Jake Fisher of the Stein line, the Phoenix Suns are the latest team to show interest in Jonathan Kuminga. Challenging as it would be for the Suns to make such a deal happen, they're fresh off completing a buyout of Bradley Beal this week. They have contacted both Kuminga's representation and the Warriors to make their fondness for the bouncy swingman, writes Jake L. Fisher, known. So, $25 million per year is what Kuminga's hoping for. The Warriors are saying, no. From us.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix Suns are saying, well, we might not want that $25 million per year, Kuminga, but we're interested in the player itself.
It depends on what that contract would be and what the Warriors could get back. And, you know, Steiny was talking about Royce O'Neal as a guy who makes about 10. So that would mean you sign Kuminga for 20 and then you trade him to Phoenix and they have to give you 10 back. And that's the way that goes. And so, if that works, if you'd rather have Royce O'Neal than Kuminga, and you know you get out from underneath the Kuminga conundrum, as you put it, then maybe that works. And Royce O'Neal, a guy who can probably come in and help you more this year anyway.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. But the teams that are reportedly interested, you had the Kings, you had Miami earlier in the offseason. That's not happening anymore. The Bulls had maybe been rumored, but you're talking about a lot of, I don't know, is it fair to say subpar franchises, the Bulls, the Kings, and the Suns right now that are potentially interested? And a lot of those teams, you never quite know what their plan is. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. You know what I've been hearing a lot of, Dibs, whether it's on the text line, shout out to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, whether it's on the YouTube chat, whether it's on social media, I hear so much of this from Warrior fans, and it's something along these lines, Dibs. Jonathan Kuminga is holding the Warriors hostage.
Right.
He's holding them hostage. Do you feel like that's a fair encapsulation of the situation? Is Kuminga holding the Warriors hostage?
No, not at all. I mean, Kuminga is out there trying to figure out what would be best for his own career. And the Warriors had a chance last offseason to get this done and to get this thing buttoned up and put away. And they didn't. And whether or not, you know, they offered 30 and he wanted 35 or whatever the numbers were and whatever the contract machinations were, the Warriors had a chance to extend him like so many other teams did, and they didn't do that. So if you're Kuminga and you get to this point where you're coming off year four, and year four included a 31-game absence due to an ankle injury, and year four included DNPs down the stretch in the most important games of the year, if you're Kuminga, like, what is your motivation to just come in and sign for whatever? He signed the qualifying offer. They extended it. He signed it, and that opens up his restricted free agency. So,
well, I don't think he hasn't signed it.
I thought that's how that
went. It's just on the table.
Okay, well, yeah. So they extend it, and he doesn't sign it. But
if he signs it, then this whole thing is over.
Okay, so he's got the qualifying offer
just
in front
sitting
of him.
There in
I don't
front
know
of him.
How long he has to how long he has to wait before he has to sign it.
I think the last opportunity to sign it is like early October. Like, this could go for a really long time.
Oh, well, then like fine. That. Then yeah. How is he holding them hostage? So they gave him an offer that he doesn't think is befitting of his talent. So is he supposed to just rush out and sign that, or can he negotiate with them? And I'm sure they're negotiating both sides on what would be fair. And it feels like they're probably not that close. And if the report from the Stein line is true, and I believe Mark Stein, friend of the program, yep, joined us a couple of days ago. And if Kuminga is looking for a deal for $25 million average annual value, and the team is, you know, more likely in the, I don't know, $10 to $12 million range, then who's holding who hostage?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of blame on both sides. I think the way that this situation is playing out, Dibs, you have Kuminga, who has an elevated sense of who he thinks he is and what he's worth than what is the reality of the situation. And you have the Warriors, who, operating in bad faith might be a way to describe it, but who, through their actions in terms of how they've handled Kuminga over the years, are telling you one thing in terms of what he's worth and what his value is, but they're holding out hope that they get an offer from some other team that assesses his value as entirely different from the way the Warriors have assessed his value. Like, the two things do not compete or compute, and the two sides are both kind of living in fantasy land, their own fantasy land. Kuminga thinks he's worth 25 or 30. The rest of the league is like maybe more like 18. And the Warriors are saying, well, we don't even want to play you in the playoffs, but we're trying to get first-round pick compensation back for you. You have two sides that aren't really living in the reality of the situation that's currently staring them in the face.
Well, and the reality of the situation is that no team has any money. So whatever he is, quote, worth is not what he's worth this year, and that's why, if I'm Kuminga's agent, if I haven't been fired yet, and if I'm not going to be fired after all of the things that we've heard, are they true, are they not true? If Kuminga turned down 5 and 150 at the advice of his agent, and now we're sitting in the year where he might get a one-year $7.9 million offer and play on the qualifying offer,
man, that's
well,
terrible.
You're fired. I'm sorry, agent. I don't know you, but if you were my agent, you would no longer be my agent if this is the way that all played out, because, you know, Draymond Green, he said it wasn't about Kuminga, but it was about everyone else looking at the situation. And the situation was, a year ago, you could forecast what we're now facing, which is teams are going to tighten the belt. And if you were in last offseason and you knew that teams were going to be into some belt tightening, well, it behooves you to get something done below what you thought you deserve, quote unquote, knowing full well where we are right now, which is nobody has any money. So if Kuminga still wants 25 a year on a short-term deal, if he wants 2 years and 50, let's just say, the Warriors aren't giving him 2 years and 50, and no other team out there is giving him 2 and 50. So where are we at, JK, and your agent? Because if the Warriors do give him, let's just say the Warriors are like, yeah, you know what, we want to be do right by you. We're going to give you 2 years and $50 million. We'll give you 22 now and 28 later. Offseason's over. There's no Horford. There's no Melton. Your offseason is over. It's over.
For if you send him to $25 million per year?
Even 22 right now. Like, if you give him 22
you
now
can get Horford
and 20,
and Melton.
I don't think so. If you give him $22 million this upcoming year, that puts you over the second apron, if I'm not mistaken.
I will crunch the numbers, but let's see. If you gave Jonathan Kuminga $22 million per year, and
this is live math here, Cam. This is pretty awesome.
And then we're talking about Al Horford for the taxpayer mid-level.
You would not be in the tax. You'd be in the, yeah, the taxpayer mid-level.
Taxpayer
which is
mid-level, 5.7.
All right.
And then D'Anthony Melton at a minimum. You are over the first apron, but you are just below the second apron.
You're just below.
And then you could sign one of your second round picks to be, well, actually, no, you'd be quite a bit below. You still have an extra like $6 million. Even if you signed one of your second round picks, either Alex Tui or Will Richard, for their minimum, which is like $1.2-1.3 million, have them full time on the roster, would be your 13th man, you still would have an extra $5.6 million below the second apron. To
and
go
what's
and
the second apron at?
Guy.
Like 190?
Second apron is at 207.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you could do Kuminga for 22. You could do Horford for 5.7, Melton for the vet min, one of your rookies for their minimum, and then one other player from who knows where, and that's your 14 guys, and you're under the second apron.
Okay.
You could do that.
Yeah, and I wonder if
Melton... They don't want to do that, but you could do that.
And I wonder if Melton's going to be a guy who's going to come in for the vet min, and
that's
also,
an assumption
like,
I'm making, yeah.
Yeah, and what Horford's going to want. I don't know what those handshake deals have already been agreed to. I wonder if it is, you know, the mid-level for Horford and the veteran minimum for D'Anthony Melton. We don't know what those numbers would be, but my bottom line is that they don't want to give Kuminga $22 million.
No, I don't think so either. Now, they could theoretically make it work, and then you could trade him later and get that full $22 million back, but then you get to a point, Dibs, where, and it's I threw out this question a couple of weeks ago, do the Warriors wish they had just given Kuminga whatever he wanted last offseason so you could have the right to trade him now and get the full value of that contract back? Like, but at what point does a Kuminga contract, whether it's $35 million a year, whether it's $30 a year, whether it's $22 million a year, at what point does that contract become a negative in the eyes of other teams? As in, you have to, like, the Jordan Poole contract, you had to attach a first-round pick to get him out of here just to get back an expiring Chris Paul. You had to attach an asset to your younger player in order to get an expiring contract back. What is the level of... That's too much money for Kuminga, and now it's a negative asset.
Depends on how he plays.
Yeah,
it depends on if you play him. And you know, right now, the way you've used him of late, when you haven't played him, it feels like that asset is not worth $22 million. And that's where you know the market is telling you, partly because teams don't have money, but the market's also telling you that they don't value Kuminga at that level of, you know, $20, $22, $25 million a year player. And so Kuminga wants $25 million average annual, so do I, JK, and I'm not getting it, and neither are you. So I don't know how quickly he goes about resetting his own market, or if we just get to the point where, you know, if you're Kuminga and you get offered, like I said before, the Moses Moody deal, 3 years and 39, you'd be better off just playing on the qualifying offer and betting on yourself, I think.
Maybe, I mean,
injury be damned.
That is kind of his, I'm going to stick it to the Warriors move. One, it's patience. You wait as long as you possibly can, JK, because you know that you can kind of just delay everything the Warriors want to do as long as you are still undecided. And then number two is the qualifying offer, because then you're here for just one more year. You're taking a major risk in terms of, you know, playing on a very cheap contract, and maybe you get hurt and it damages your market, but you have an ability to completely control your free agency a year from now if you do that. Let's go out to the phones here, 888-957-9570. AJ is in Los Angeles and wants to chop it up here on Jonathan Kuminga. What's up, AJ?
What's up? Just want to chime in on the marketplace. I think we're all wrong about Jonathan Kuminga's market. Man, I think it's completely clear that the Warriors believe that there is a market for him, because if they didn't believe that, they would go ahead and use those exceptions. So that tells me that in the closed doors around the league, there's 25 plus million dollars available a season for Jonathan Kuminga, and the Warriors do not want to miss out on being able to use that asset, because if they go ahead and sign Horford and Melton right now, I can 1,000% assure you that there's going to be a bidding war among three or four teams that's going to clear space and be available to sign Jonathan Kuminga immediately. Immediately. Because here's the thing you also have to think about, that the league, around the league, I'm not talking about local media and the trolls on the internet around the Bay Area. I'm talking about around the league. Around the league, they see Jonathan Kuminga way higher than the Bay Area see him. I mean, if you watch NBA guys, the way they talk about him, the way Paul George just talked about Jonathan Kuminga today, and all these other guys, they look at him as an upcoming superstar. So, just something to consider from the outside looking in.
It's interesting, AJ, and just to hammer home the point that you're making, you're kind of jumping on what I said to begin the segment in terms of explaining why the Warriors have to wait. Again, let's play this out. If the Warriors were to pay Al Horford and give him the taxpayer mid-level, that would hard cap the Warriors at the second apron. And what AJ is saying is if the Warriors were to do that and they were to put a ceiling on the amount of money they could offer Kuminga, then other teams would clear cap space themselves, jump on the opportunity, and essentially steal Kuminga away while not having to trade the Warriors anything in order to do it. I tend to view that as unlikely, considering the way that the market has played itself out. But AJ does have a point that what makes this difficult right now, Dibs, is the only team that has the ability to offer him any sort of interesting contract straight up in free agency is the Nets, and they have shown no interest
right.
in Kuminga. So everyone else that's trying to acquire Kuminga right now has to serve two masters. They have to give a contract to Kuminga that Kuminga wants, and generally that would be, according to reports, like $25 million or more per year. But every time they pay Kuminga more money, they have to then give the Warriors more money in return as part of a sign-and-trade. So it's really, really difficult to execute these sign-and-trades with restricted free agents. So there is a world where if a team could theoretically get Kuminga without having to trade anything away, they may be willing to pay Kuminga more as a result of that.
If they have a contract that they can, you know, cut and stretch, like you were talking about with Lillard and Beal, if you're one of those teams that has that contract where, you know, if the Warriors fire early and they bring in Horford and they bring in Melton, and now that they're kind of hamstrung where they can't pay Kuminga $25 million, and you're a team out there that can clear the space, I guess you could be playing the waiting game if you're a team that's out there looking to do that. I just disagree with AJ's assertion that the league sees him as a superstar. I do think the league sees him as an intriguing player and somebody who can help down the road, but I don't think that he's so good right now that a team would be out there laying in wait for the Warriors to be in a spot where they can't match the deal.
Regardless of how realistic it is, Dibs, I think the Warriors want to avoid any situation where they view like there is another team out there that could have the leverage on them. And that's what happens if you handcuff yourself. Like right now, Dibs, the Warriors, I mean, they're of course never going to give Kuminga a max contract, but there is nothing, Dibs, absolutely nothing stopping the Warriors from saying, Kuminga, here's a max extension. Like, they could do that.
Yeah.
They have his bird rights. They can sign him. They could go into the second apron. They could blow past the second apron with a Kuminga extension. There is nothing stopping them from doing that. If they turn around tomorrow and sign Al Horford for the mid-level, then that goes out the door. There is then a number where the Warriors say, oh, we can't do anything about that, Kuminga. Bye-bye. We're getting nothing in return. So even if it's a 0.01% chance that happens, the Warriors won't let that happen because they want to make sure in this situation they have as much leverage as they possibly can. And still, to this day, I will hold, they have more leverage than anybody else in the situation.
They do, but that's why they have to wait. And AJ makes a good point about other teams that could be laying in wait. So the Warriors can't just go out and do a Horford
yep.
or do Beal if that was still on the table, or do Lillard or do D'Anthony Melton and get themselves to a spot where they can't go into the second apron, even though you mentioned it. Yeah, they could give Kuminga the max and they have his bird rights and they could go into the second apron by paying him a ton of money. They're allowed to do that, but the Warriors have shown that they don't want to do that. So they do want to create enough flexibility to where if a team does come out of the weeds and says, you know what, we're going to give Kuminga $20 million, we're going to give him $4 and $80 million, then the Warriors have enough room to where they could match it if they wanted.
Yeah, they could. 888-957-9570. Is it fair? I'm seeing a lot of this. Is it fair to say that Kuminga is holding the Warriors hostage? Is it the other way around? Is it 50-50 blame split down the middle? Is this mutually assured destruction? 888-957-9570. Steve in the Bay is up next. What's up, Steve?
How you doing there, young man?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Good. I want to piggyback off what the other caller was saying. I don't think the league is waiting on him because he has showed no potential at all. And it's really embarrassing when high schoolers are better than you. Totally embarrassing.
What high schoolers are better?
The guys I see in the summer league. I mean, no specific names, but, you know, he doesn't try hard enough for me. and that really irritates me about it.
I hear you, Steve. I'll just say that the summer league players are not high school players. Those are guys that have probably been through multiple years of college or they've played professionally overseas, and they're trying to make it in the NBA. Now, I think generally speaking, I'm not going to go as far as saying high school players are better than Jonathan Kuminga, because that is absurd to me. Generally speaking, in terms of the effort or the energy and that sort of thing, yeah, I think that's where the Warriors are frustrated by Kuminga. But, Dibs, the Warriors have as much, in my opinion, the Warriors deserve as much blame for being in this spot than Kuminga does. It has been, I don't know if malpractice is too strong of a word, but mismanagement by both sides to get to a spot where the Warriors have to wait out a stubborn Kuminga before they can do anything else in free agency. We're 17 days into this and still nothing has happened.
I get that, but and I agree with you about the blame. Like, the Warriors could have done something last offseason. They could have done something earlier this season to avoid where they are right now, this Kuminga conundrum. But I don't think that they're missing out on anything that they otherwise would have been in on. Even if the Kuminga thing would have been resolved, you still wouldn't have had the money to be a player in things like Naz Reid. You mentioned earlier, you can't afford Naz Reid. You can't even afford Damian Lillard, who is injured, and he's making more money than you probably could afford to pay him. So I do look at your situation, and I think all things go through Kuminga. Whether or not you do it early or late, I don't think you missed out on much of anything.
I hear what you're saying, and I think you're attacking it from the perspective of getting him signed and extended earlier. As in last offseason, you could have extended Kuminga or found the middle ground.
Right.
Kuminga also deserves blame for that because you're asking for way the hell too much. You could have also, you know, when his value was higher, not necessarily monetary, but expectation for him in terms of who he is as a basketball player, you could have traded him years ago or as recently as last year.
Right, and you tried to. You tried to trade him for Kevin Durant, and that deal fell through, and Kuminga, I do believe, was a big piece
of
that. Which is why now, here we are, what, 6 months later, 5 months later, and Phoenix is back percolated into the conversation because they obviously liked him then, and they probably like him even more now because the price for Kuminga has gone way down.
Yeah, but I want to take you guys through, like, I don't know if this is a complete, like, trip back in time, like, through a time machine, but I want to go back to, like, almost a year and a half ago now and just let you hear the way that the Warriors talked and thought about Jonathan Kuminga and how crazy the difference is to now. Because I think this is a good way of kind of determining or figuring out how the Warriors have handled this situation and why they deserve a lot of the blame and even getting to this spot in the first place. So we can do that when we come back. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs and Grandy, I'm in for Willard. Back with more next right here on 95.7 The Game.
And meantime, it's Dan Dibley here. If you're thinking about covering your patio or maybe you're going to build some shelves to get organized, whatever your next project is, the products you use to build it matters the most, especially if you want it to last for years to come. That's why Golden State Lumber and Showrooms are proud to carry Simpson and Strong Tie, the trusted name in structural connectors. Engineered for strength, these products are designed to stand up to the toughest conditions, from high winds to seismic events. Professional builders appreciate the many options that Simpson Strong Tie provides. Do-it-yourselfers love the confidence that comes from these professional results. So whether you're building a backyard retreat or just tackling your weekend to-do list, and I've got a honey-do list the size of my arm, and I choose Simpson Strong Tie, which is available at Golden State. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com to get inspired. Golden State Lumber and Showroom in the Bay Area for over 70 years and ever evolving. Golden State Lumber and Showroom, when you succeed, we succeed.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard, so Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to check out Steiny and Guru and their thoughts on the latest Jonathan Kuminga developments. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of a Steiny and Guru today, Dibs, but Steiny's point was essentially with this this development that Kuminga turned down $150 million over the course of 5 years a year ago, and this is all reportedly, there's no way the Warriors could bring him back because whatever number they bring him back on would be way, way, way less than that, what he was reportedly offered a year ago. And that just makes the situation untenable in that locker room.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I mean, ultimately, you get to a point where you let bygones be bygones. And I think if Kuminga has to come back for that number and there's no other offer and no other suitors, and he's faced with either play basketball for $7.9 million or don't play basketball, I think that he has to come back and play ball. And ultimately, it might not be ideal, but you look at what Jordan Poole did in his year post-punch, and he averaged 20 a game, and he played in every single game, and they went all the way into the play-in, right? They didn't make the playoffs that year, but they were a play-in team, but he played in all 82, and he did his level best, I think. He was not maybe a great fit, and he had a hard time staying on his feet, and he fell down a lot, but he actually went out there and played basketball. He didn't pout or sulk, and he didn't play the way maybe they wanted him to play, but he played in every game.
He did play basketball. You're right. It wasn't the most successful basketball, but he did play basketball, and he played meaningful, impactful minutes, important minutes. And if Kuminga's on the roster, they're going to have to play him those same kind of meaningful and important minutes because there's only so many bodies that they can throw around. Let's keep it going here on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. One thing I've been hearing a lot of is that J.K. Kuminga is holding the Warriors hostage. I don't view it that way, and neither does Dibs. It's kind of an even 50-50 split for me in terms of how the Warriors got into this spot. It's on Kuminga for maybe overvaluing who he is and what he's worth. It's also on the Warriors for not seeing this situation coming potentially a little bit more and getting out from under it when they had the chance to actually bring something back of value. Let's go up next to James in Berkeley who wants to weigh in. James, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, man. What do you got?
Yeah, so first, before I get into what I want to discuss, I just got to fact check Dibs real quick. I'm pretty sure after JP got punched, the Warriors made the playoffs and lost in the second round to the Lakers. So, you know, putting that out there. But what I really want to get into here is that what JK really wants is obviously the money, but he wants to play. And what I'm putting forward is that it could be time for 35-year-old Draymond to potentially take a back seat and come off the bench, because if you want to repair this relationship, you could give JK maybe 30 minutes a game and give him a chance and give him a spot in the starting lineup. Because first of all, a couple things. Are the Warriors even championship contenders? You know, that's a big maybe. The West is super competitive. A couple teams I would rank ahead of the Warriors. And then secondly, do you really want a lineup with Curry, Butler, Draymond, and Al Horford? I think that lineup could use some athleticism. And lastly, it would probably behoove the Warriors to give JK a shot, because if you don't even think he fits, you need to play him, let him showcase his value, let's see what he's got, and then that could increase his trade value. So, you know, just like D. Lee took a back seat to Draymond to let him, you know, flourish, I think, you know, Draymond might have to pay that one forward. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, James. I think the Warriors have every interest in minimizing Draymond's minutes at the five. Now, it's difficult to see how that's possible right now, considering they couldn't do it last year, and they got rid of one of their other fives, or at least they didn't bring him back. Kevon Looney left. So how are they going to find, you know, how are they going to play Draymond fewer minutes at the five next year, given what's currently on their roster? I think one of the obvious answers is Al Horford. But how many minutes can 39, 40-year-old Al Horford play at the five? You're going to run into a similar situation that you ran into with Draymond Green. Dibs, I don't know if the answer is Draymond off the bench, but it is definitely find a way where Draymond plays fewer minutes at the five and more at the four. The tough part is if you're playing Draymond more at the four, that also makes it harder to find more minutes for Kuminga, because Kuminga is a four.
Exactly. So those things for me do not line up, and it's not time for Draymond Green to come off the bench. Whether or not you think that and I think that, They don't think that. The Warriors don't think that, and Steph doesn't think that. Draymond certainly doesn't think that. And you're looking at a situation where you're going all in on the veterans. So you're going to play the vets, and the idea about the five, yeah, you don't want Draymond to play the five a lot. Okay, so you're going to have him play the four. And if you think about the five spot, and let's just pretend that you have 48 minutes of the five on the court, even though you don't always play that way as a Warrior team. If TJD can get you 12 minutes and Quentin Post can get you 12 minutes and Al Horford can get you 18 minutes, that puts Draymond with only 6 minutes at the five. That would be great if you could have it be that way. Well, TJD and Quentin Post have not proven to be regular rotational players night in and night out. Like Kevon Looney, for the most part, was. I know he had some DNPs and he got frustrated in the playoffs that he wasn't able to play that much. And, you know, when you get to the playoffs, Draymond's probably going to have to play the five, because with Horford and TJD and Quentin, Draymond is still your best defensive player at the five. So you want to protect him during the regular season. So how do you go about doing that? And you go about doing that by playing those other guys, which means Draymond plays the four. And to your point, if Draymond's playing the four, can you really play Kuminga at the three? I mean, you'd rather have Kuminga be your four. If Kuminga's playing the three, then you're going to need him to shoot the ball a little bit better, because you're a shoot-first team. And, you know, you've got Jimmy Butler, who's playing the three a lot when you've got Buddy Hield in there and Steph Curry. So as you look at what team fits best with Kuminga, it's not with Draymond and it's not with Jimmy Butler. So if those guys play a ton, how do you get JK in there and really make him impactful?
Yeah.
That's
the
challenge.
It is, and it's the same situation the Warriors ran into this past year. And I know Steve Kerr will say, well, we didn't have the opportunity to kind of figure out the combinations, because by the time we acquired Jimmy Butler, which throws a wrench into every combination you've already figured out up to that point, you suddenly have to sprint just to make the postseason. So you didn't really have the opportunity to experiment, and Steve Kerr has said that they will experiment more to begin the year, assuming that Kuminga is on the roster, but there's no guarantee you're going to find something that you haven't found yet. And for me, I tend to find it hard to believe that suddenly, magically, things are going to change, and you're going to be like, oh, well, here is the easy role where he fits next to everybody else, and it's a great group, and it works, and the Warriors turn to that over the course of a whole season. That seems relatively unlikely to me. I think the other thing, and the 408 pointed this out on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, when it comes to the David Lee coming off the bench, the comparison to Draymond Green coming off of the bench, what David Lee was back then is nowhere near what Draymond Green is now. The impact that Draymond Green still has, Dibs, you said it yourself, when the playoffs come around and when it's even crunch time in the regular season, what will the Warriors turn to a lot? And what have they always turned to? It's Draymond Green at the five. The reason why it didn't look too good versus the Timberwolves, in my opinion, partially is the T-Wolves are just a gigantic team.
Right.
But the other half of it is Draymond was worn down because he had to play the five 24-7 beginning in the middle of February. And if that's the case, he's going to have nothing left in the tank at age 35 by the time the postseason comes around. If you can find a way to limit his minutes at the five in the regular season, which means playing him almost exclusively at the four, which makes it harder for Kuminga, then you have Draymond Green and you feel good about playing him a ton of minutes at the five come the playoffs, because he's more physically ready for it at
that point.
Yeah,
you feel better, but for me, it's not only about Draymond Green and minutes at the five, it's about minutes in general. And last year he played in 68 games, which is a lot. He played the second most minutes on the team. All told, he played in almost 2,000 minutes. Only Steph Curry played more minutes than Draymond Green did. So it's not only about what position you play, it's about the total minutes. And you mentioned it, where you got to February and all the games that you played from then on were important games. And when you play important games and you want to win important games, you play your best players a lot. And when Draymond's going to play a lot, he's going to play the five a lot. And that's where you got to last year. So it falls more on TJD and Quentin Post, and if you have Al Horford, can those guys play enough and play well enough to where Draymond Green doesn't have to exert as much during the regular year?
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And reminder, coming up at some point this hour, we are going to give you a chance to win a Warriors prize pack and a pair of four-day passes to Aftershock as part of our All-Star Week prize blowout. Just stay tuned. We'll tell you all the details and how to win coming up a little bit later on this hour here on 95.7 The Game. I wanted to go back in time a little bit, Dibs, because we're at a situation now where it feels to me like the Warriors are content moving off of Kuminga. And now obviously they want something in return for Kuminga, and it feels like they're asking a little bit more than what a realistic offer is from opposing teams. I think the Warriors have pretty drastically mismanaged this situation. Now, again, once they got to this spot this offseason, this feels like the natural path for it to play out. You hope that there's a team out there that's willing to give you what you want, but if not, then you just got to be patient because you have leverage on your side and you believe that you really do hold the cards and can control it. But how did we get to this spot in the first place? I know you throughout the contract negotiations a year ago, leading into last year. And yeah, maybe the Warriors hope that they just would have been able to get something done, whether it was maybe pay a couple million more than you were willing to pay, or whether it was just Kuminga accepting less. They probably do hope that they just, regardless, got an offer done. But I want to go back to 2024, leading up to the trade deadline, when the Warriors were rumored to be in on a couple of Raptors players, if you remember. OG Anunoby of the Raptors, who got traded to the Knicks. I know you had a smirk on your face because
of
that famous Steiny drop.
It's a great one.
AJ Anunoby.
Yep.
But he got traded from the Raptors to the Knicks. And what the Knicks gave up for Anunoby was RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and a second round pick. That was leading up to the 2024 trade deadline. That was all that it took to get Anunoby, who's a quality player. Not a superstar, not an all-star, but a quality player. He would be good on the Warriors. The Warriors, I would imagine the Raptors would have viewed Kuminga as more valuable than any of those assets the Knicks gave up.
Perhaps.
The other Raptor that was traded, that trade deadline, was Pascal Siakam to the Pacers. Since then, the Pacers have gone to the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. Siakam went to the Pacers for Bruce Brown, Kyra Lewis, and Jordan Nwora, in addition to two firsts and another conditional first-round pick. Kuminga better than any of those players in terms of value.
By quite
a wide margin.
But three first-round picks. Two firsts and a conditional.
Kuminga probably would have taken one of those firsts off, I would guess, because you view Kuminga as more valuable and kind of like a first-round pick. But it's not an absurd price tag to get someone like Pascal Siakam. And what Mike Dunleavy said about Jonathan Kuminga after that trade deadline Jonathan Kuminga was, quote, virtually untouchable in trade talks.
Yeah.
So that's how the Warriors view Jonathan Kuminga as recently as last February. Not this most recent February, but February 2024. So that's what, 17 months ago, Dibs? About a year and a half, Kuminga was virtually untouchable. How about as recently as last offseason? This is Ramona Shelburne on with you and Willard. Last offseason, and you're going to hear Willard's question, Ramona Shelburne, as tapped in as any in the NBA world, asked about Kuminga being on the table in trade talks for the Warriors last offseason. Here's Ramona.
Let's talk about big game hunting and how they go about doing it. To what level is Jonathan Kuminga on the table?
Not at all.
Really?
I think he's pretty much look, it's going to get complicated because of his extension talks and how much money they have. But I think they'll do everything they can to keep him. I don't think they want to even talk about him.
The Warriors will do everything they can to keep him. I don't think the Warriors even want to talk about him. That was a year ago, Dibs. And now we're at a point where it feels like they're perfectly fine letting him walk, assuming that they just don't get a crazy lowball offer like they got from the Kings. We have the way that the opinion in-house has shifted on Jonathan Kuminga from such a short period of time is absolutely insane. And to think that you could have used this asset to get somebody like Ananobi or Pascal Siakam
in theory,
was available a year ago in the offseason, and now you're looking at having to potentially swallow Carter and Šarić and second-round picks for Kuminga? It's absurd.
It's a miss. I mean, if you look at it from that lens, it's a miss. And the things that have happened since February of 2024, and I'm just looking back at what was going on then, and Kuminga was a starter, and he was getting 34 minutes a night, and he started every game from January 30th all the way through virtually the end of the year. He got hurt in late March, and he missed about five games.
Well, that was the Draymond suspension, right? So Kuminga got a bunch of runway.
Right, and he got a lot of starts. And, you know, this was at the tail end of the Draymond suspension, and then it carried into the Draymond when he returned. Yeah. And obviously before Jimmy Butler, it was a year before Jimmy Butler, but Kuminga was a big piece of what you were trying to do. And so you rolled through that, and then you get into this past season, and you know, Kuminga, again, was looking like he was going to be a big factor in your rotation. Then he got hurt. You got Butler, and he never really fit in after that. So things change based on who is playing around you. But also, I do think that when you look at the player that Kuminga was a year and a half ago, when he was getting the minutes and he was allowed to go out there and cook, I think that he was more motivated to do the small things that you need him to do.
You think he was doing the other stuff more, scoring the basketball, but rebounding and diving on the floor and all that
I'm
stuff?
I'm just looking at these games when he started from, you know, early February all the way through March, and he's got a game where it was 28 and 10, he got 18 and 6, and you've got, you know, game where he got 21 and 5, 13 and 8, 6 points and 7 rebounds and 6 assists and a win over Chicago. He was doing the things that they needed him to do, and he's getting to the foul line, he's making his free throws, and he was getting, you know, 19, 21, 25, 24. These are all his point outputs, and in those games, they went 4-1. So not only was he cooking, but they were winning with him playing that role.
So how do we get from that point where he's playing well, the Warriors are, you know, winning basketball games, and his general manager is saying things such as, quote, he's virtually untouchable. Ramona Shelburne, as plugged in as any in the NBA, is saying things such as the Warriors will, quote, do everything they can to keep him. I don't think they even want to talk about him, to where we are now, where you can't figure out a contract extension last offseason. Now you're staring at nearly 3 weeks of inaction at restricted free agency. How did we get from that point to where we are now? It feels like...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.